My name is Ben Greenfield, and on this episode of the Ben Greenfield Life Podcast.
The other thing that I wanted to bring up about that C1 is because it's altering your blood supply to your brain, and we can modulate your immune response to a certain extent through your autonomic system. When people have cold and flu and allergy symptoms, we do a lot of times see those dissipate, and you know, just with that 100-day section, an instantaneous relief of that congestion, of that runny nose, of that cough, of that altered temperature.
Wow, that's crazy. So it's almost like it can be an instant fix for just like an acute sickness.
That's correct.
That's crazy.
Like we talked about heart issues, blood pressure issues, we can kind of turn somebody on a dime and make a real impactful change.
Faith, family, fitness, health, performance, nutrition, longevity, ancestral living, biohacking, and a whole lot more. Welcome to the show.
I've used it for years. It's one of my go-to nootropic blends because it's like brain food. It's vegan, it's non-GMO, supports focus and memory and mental energy. 28 research-backed nootropics packed into one teeny tiny bottle. If you've appreciated my work for the last 7 years now, you can attribute a great deal of that to this nootropic. It's called Qualia Mind. Qualia Mind. It's fueled my brain for years now. And you feel it within days. I would say within hours after taking it. You can also try it with a 100% money-back guarantee and 15% off. Here's how. Go to neurohacker.com/BGF and use code BGF at checkout. It's already up to 50% off. You get an extra 15% off the already discounted price and get to try it for 100 days with no financial risk, money-back guarantee, neurohacker.com, neurohacker.com/BGF to try Qualia Mind and get an extra 15% off. How do you like that? Hey, you want to spice things up in the bedroom and boost your sexual performance and do it naturally without nasty prescription drugs? You gotta check out this stuff, Joy Mode. It's a powder. You put it in water, or if you're like me and you're a savage, you can dry powder into your mouth. Contains clinically supported doses of L-citrulline, arginine, yohimbine, and vitamin C. So after taking this stuff called their Sexual Performance Booster, again by Joy Mode, your blood levels of arginine and yohimbine increase, and that directly promotes nitric oxide production, penile tissue relaxation, and increased drive. Well, the antioxidant action of vitamin C protects the nitric oxide from oxidative degradation, which then enhances the blood flow promoting activity of the nitric oxide. They thought of everything. They're super smart over at Joy Mode, and collectively these effects enhance sex drive and blood flow naturally to the penis or to the clitoris. My wife takes it too. It's amazing. You get better orgasms, better blood flow. You can kiss nasty prescription medications goodbye and have natural guilt-free energy for boosting your sexual performance. You can get 20% off your first order from Joy Mode. How? Go to usejoymode.com/greenfield. That's usejoymode.com/greenfield. J-O-Y. usejoymode.com/greenfield. They'll give you 20% off your first order. Last night, I got my shipment in. That's right. Paleo Valley sent me their fermented meat sticks, which are amazing. They're these beef sticks. I gave a few to some of my friends already, which they love. I actually interviewed Stephen Gundry on my podcast, and he talked about how when you look at a lot of these blue zones, the ones that are the highest ranking in terms of longevity eat meat, but the meat that they eat is actually fermented. And that's exactly what they've done with Paleo Valley. They've actually taken really good grass-fed, grass-finished beef. They've fermented, which naturally introduces gut-friendly probiotics, but more importantly, breaks down a lot of the sugars that would normally cause meat to be harmful, concentrates the vitamins, makes it more digestible, and they have fantastic flavors. They got the original. They've got one that's like a summer sausage. They have a garlic sausage. They have a teriyaki. It's probably my favorite. And you can now get your hands on fermented beef sticks that basically blow that Slim Jim beef jerky out of the water. So check out paleovalley.com/Ben. That's paleovalley.com/Ben to try out these beef sticks and get 15% off your order. Not just beef sticks, fermented beef sticks.
Please enjoy part two of Ben's interview with Dr. Avi Herskovitz, a follow-up to Thursday's episode. You can find part one, along with a background and introduction, at bengreenfieldlife.com/anatara. That's bengreenfieldlife.com/anatara. And the show notes for this episode are at bengreenfieldlife.com/anatara2. Anatara with the number two.
This is obviously a big adventure through Anatara Medicine and everything that they do. But what we haven't talked yet about are some of these injections, particularly a flavor of injections called hydrodissection. I've talked about hydrodissection when it comes to joint health before on the podcast, and a lot of these treatments that people will do for knee pain, elbow pain, you know, carpal tunnel, etc. But there's kind of like this weird component of hydrodissection that's related to the nervous system, related to stress. And I haven't talked about that too much. You know, there was a podcast a couple months ago where I'd mentioned these nerve blocks like stellate ganglion and briefly mentioned it. But apparently, from what I understand, and Avi was filling me in on this briefly and said that you had a lot of flavor to add on this as well, Dr. Tierney. There's this idea of hydrodissection specifically for the nervous system with things like cervical spine injections or vagal nerve treatment. So tell me a little bit about that.
Well, one of the things that maybe is lacking in healthcare is this addressing peripheral nerves. And what's come to light with COVID is how essential there's some plexus of nerves are. So you think of nerves as traveling through the body, but we don't often recognize how much they need to move. Literally, if you move your neck, the nerves are moving, several inches as you move. So if there's adhesions around the nerves or webbing around the nerves that's maybe caused from inflammation and infection and injury, then you start to have nerve problems. So just take a look at if you ripped your skin off, scraped your skin off with a cut, you notice as it heals, it kind of gets pulled back together, which is very useful because you throw out these webs to stitch things together. But if you have, an infection or an injury or arthritis, and you're throwing these webs out between the muscles, and now you're restricting the nerve's ability to move between the muscles, and the nerve starts to become dysfunctional. So when we look at, what group of nerves do we least want to see dysfunctional, it's probably the C1 plexus, which is your vagus nerve, your sympathetic chain, or your internal carotid plexus. So that's basically your heart rate and your blood flow and your blood pressure, to your entire body and along with your digestion. So, a low blood pressure can be very bad. A high blood pressure can be very bad. And it goes along to the hypoglossal and the glossopharyngeal nerve, along with the vagus nerve, which are sensory and motor to the tongue. And then we go on to the superior laryngeal nerve that controls your ability to swallow and your vocal abilities. And we also have the facial nerve that's going to control not only the muscles of the face, but also your ability to focus your hearing and adjust the pressure in your middle ear.
These are all the so-called cranial nerves.
That series of nerves, for whatever reason, with COVID and with other infections that are chronic, tends to get adhered, and then people have these symptoms where their vision is not okay because those nerves control the pupil dilation constriction and the blood flow to the brain. Their hearing is altered. They have ringing in their ears. They have loss of taste, loss of smell. They have lower blood pressure, especially when they stand up. We call it POTS. So they have this situation where, their blood pressure may go down. Their heart rate, which should probably for them be 60, is down at 30, and they pass out when they stand up. So we can literally just simply hydrodissect that plexus of nerves. And within 10 minutes, that person's heart rate goes from 30 to 72. And then, that person was headed for a pacemaker and trouble. And that's just such a common thing right now. So the same thing happens for these visual changes or the hearing changes. And that's the one area that those nerves being dysfunctional can be a matter of life and death.
Yeah. And I remember back when I was taking anatomy in college, and we had all these different cranial nerves snaking through the head. I believe the what was the mnemonic on Old Olympus: towering tops of Finn and German viewed some hops. And the first letter of each of those words, I think, corresponded to a different nerve, like the vestibular, the vestibulocochlear, etc. And I think that these days, a lot of people who are into biohacking technologies or stress mitigation strategies, they'll use things like vagal nerve stimulators. You know, there's all these different devices. I've gotten some sent to my house over the past few months that kind of deliver this mild electrical current over the vagal nerve area. And that seems to actually help people a little bit with stress, or people who, as you were alluding to, have like this, what is it, postural orthostatic hypotension, where they'll stand up and they'll get dizzy. And a lot of times that'll correlate to having been through a period of stress, et cetera. And I think a lot of people have felt what you're describing. But beyond these vagal nerve stimulators, which people use at home, back to this concept of hydrodissection, you can actually go in and adjust these nerves using like ultrasound guided imaging and needles, from what I understand.
So you have like better than a tenth of a millimeter accuracy to put a needle right in that very delicate plexus and then just push the muscles apart. And then the particular muscles here would be the rectus capitis anterior and a digastric. But, you know, regardless of that, it's the big guns. I think you have your big guns for adjusting your nervous system. Your autonomic system is probably stellate ganglion block and that C1 plexus hydrodissection. And then you have all these other things like, you know, the vagus nerve stimulation, breathing techniques, you know, exercise, weight training it trains your autonomic system. Even acupuncture is adjusting. So you have all these tools, you know, biofeedback, meditation, breathing that we can use, but the big guns would be that hydrodissection. And then one of the things with I talk about with hydrodissection is it's really hard from any other technique that we would use, any that I mentioned, to create more mobility and more health in those nerves. So you can relax those nerves, get them functioning, but they're not going to stay functioning if they're continuously restricted. So you have this opportunity to make a change that's a lasting change.
Okay, so as much fun as it would be for Avi to just come over here and jam a needle in my neck, I don't think this is going to be one that we demonstrate right now. But describe to people how this would actually work. I hear you talking, and I find a doctor who's well versed in these hydrodissection procedures, and I ask about stellate ganglion nerve block, and I go in for this stellate ganglion or the whole C1 plexus. What's somebody actually experienced during one of these? How's it go down?
Well, you're gonna, you know. In the C1 plexus case, you're going to be lying on your side, and we're going to look at the anatomy in that area, and we're going to kind of be aware of the things that we want to avoid and the things that we want to address. We're going to avoid any major vessels, especially the occipital artery, internal jugular vein. Those are the two things that are in that plexus along the nerves. And we're going to make a plan of, are we going to come from the back or the front? So you'd be lying on your side. And a needle would come either from posterior or from anterior, and it would go to that fascial plane, and we would just inject fluid, and that fascial plane would open up, and you would just see that space created, breaking those adhesions, you know, around those nerves, and making a lasting change. And, you know, and it, the nice thing about that this kind of work is not only does it make a lasting change, but we can actually see within 10 minutes a dramatic change in somebody's function in most cases. So it's not unusual to see, okay, your heart rate, your blood pressure was low, now it's to normal. You know, your blood pressure was high, now it's normal. Your visual acuity is very low, now it's normal. You know, your ability to clear your ear. So you have this instant feedback that it makes it easier for us as providers to, you know, guide you through your best care.
And you do this on both sides of the neck?
Yes. Now that's the one thing that's different between a stellate block. The stellate block is we're blocking the sympathetic side so that the vagus side or the parasympathetic side can express itself. And also so that the nervous system can recover when it's been overwhelmed metabolically and spinning too fast. So that teleganglion block is lower. You're lying on your back and you're turned to one side. So this teleganglion block is lower, and it's at, it can only be done on one side per day. And the reasoning for that is that there's a nerve, the laryngeal nerve, and if that is blocked, which is the branches of the vagus nerve, that nerve is blocked, then you may not be able to swallow normally or talk normally on one side. But if we blocked both sides, then you wouldn't be able to breathe without being intubated. So we only do one side per day to avoid that issue. So with a stellate, with the stellate block, it's one side, and with the C1 plexus, we can do both sides because there's not an anesthetic. There's not that risk of doing both sides on the same day.
How do you think these compare to those vagal nerve stimulators, like the electrocurrent devices?
I think it's like I talked. I like in general with when you're treating something that needs a hydrodissection, not doing a hydrodissection, it's essentially like a massage. So when we get a massage, it feels better if you have a lot of adhesions around your nerves, and really muscles don't have a sensation for pain. So we just think, okay, muscles don't have a sensation for pain. So if I have pain and I feel like I need a massage, then I'm going to feel better if I get a massage. But if the nerves are still restricted, in a couple of days, I'm going to feel the pain again. So the same thing happens when you're dealing with your autonomic system. So if I use a vagus nerve stimulation to get the vagus nerve to function better, to relax and be more healthy, it's a really useful thing, and I don't discourage it in any way. But you know, you're not being realistic if you think that's going to last when the vagus nerve dysfunction is related to adhesions that are restricting the vagus nerve from moving and getting a normal circulation. So it's a great thing. I think it's an additional thing to do, but you would have to, you would likely have to continue doing that and not have a lasting result. Whereas a C1 hydrodissection is something that you may have to do, you know, one or three times period to solve the problem.
Like ever. And then your nervous system just kind of like reset at that point.
Right. It's essentially you just freed up that nerve. So even if the muscles get tight, even if there is inflammation in your body, even if something happened, unless something created that readhesion of those connective tissue, those muscles, that connective tissue around the nerve, you're not going to have to go through that again. It occasionally will happen that it comes back if there's an inflammatory process, and we come back with different biological tools, you know, that will make it last. I'll give you an example. I had a patient that came in. She had COVID, and her heart rate was 30 beats a minute. You know, she happened to be in the office for something else, but she was scheduled for a pacemaker the next week. And I said, well, you know, sometimes we can help out with this. Why don't we do this? It's a minimally invasive thing to do. It's, you know, it's not extraordinarily expensive. So we did that procedure, and her heart rate went from 30 to 72 within 10 minutes. And it stayed there for 4 days. So she called me like, it's starting to go off. I said, okay, well, if it doesn't last, that usually means there's an inflammatory process. So we'll come back with this, a product that kind of stops that. So we did the procedure with that product. And now she's had a heart rate of 72 for the past year. And that change was, like I said, within 5 minutes of the procedure.
Wow.
I just want to say a few things, Sean. When I ask our patients, when you come around twice a month to the office here, I want to thank you for that. What's the most effective thing that we've done for you this month or this last 2 months? And they say, well, that C1 injection woke me up.
Wow.
So it's a wake up. So it's not just, you know, again, COVID is a great unveiler of pathology underneath. And it's not just affecting and not just giving us sore throats. It's inflammatory in the neck and can tie up all your cranial nerves. But the majority of people that we use them in the real world are folks that they just want an extra boost. So it's cognitive boost, energy boost, even performance boosts. And so that's the average thing. It's we'll talk later about the German a resetting of the nervous system using intravenous procaine later. But the other thing about the stellate ganglion block, which we've used on all of our cancer patients to basically allow their parasympathetics to come up so they have more calming effects because they're dealing with their stress is reacting to the real world. So that's not going to go away. And they want to have it done repeatedly. So this is not painful. It's very fast, very quick. And they say, oh, let's do the, I can't wait to do the other side. I can't wait to do the other side. And also that there's this issue about other things that, one other thing that comes up a lot is that I wasn't aware of until you told it to me. And you said that hydrodissection at that level, one way or another, is in any in the neck area and in the head area is a outstanding treatment for migraine.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah. I could see that being the case with migraines. You've actually experienced that as well, Dr. Tierney?
Oh yeah. Well, what we have to look at with migraines, and I've only ever had, to my knowledge, one patient that I couldn't get rid of the headache with hydrodissection. And that's not just that C1 plexus. And that was my nephew. We actually did get rid of his headache. It ended up being from the circulation to the brain, an abnormality in the brain circulation. But that aside from that story, just to go over the basics of headaches. Now, headaches, it turns out, are really nerve impingements, and the migraine headache has the nerve impinged in and also next to an artery, usually the occipital artery, sits right next to three nerves. We have really three nerves that do the same thing. So without looking and pushing and doing a good exam, by talking to somebody, I don't know which of those three nerves it is. And it's pretty simple. It's the greater occipital, the lesser occipital, and the least or third occipital. And all those nerves are going to wrap around to the forehead and to behind the eye. So just to kind of basically get you an understanding of that. And I like the greater occipital as one of the best examples of why hydrodissection is important. So I'm just going to turn here so you can see. So the greater occipital is the only nerve that comes posterior, kind of between the lamina or between the ponticles of C1 and C2. So this nerve comes out between C1 and C2 and goes posterior. Most nerves come out and go anterior or lateral. Coming out of the spine. So this nerve goes posterior and it turns and goes all the way to midline, all the way to midline, and then it turns all the way back out to about halfway to the lateral side. And then it goes, shoots right over the head. Now, the reason that nerve comes out and goes to the left and goes to the right and shoots over the head is because if I turn my head like this, now that's a straight line. That means that nerve is going to be moving that much, inches, like 3 inches through the muscles, just for me to turn my head that way. So when I have restriction in or between the muscles or webs between the muscles and I restrict that motion, that nerve is going to be very vulnerable. So when we hydrodissect and push those muscles apart and the nerve can glide as you move your head, then we really enhance the function and the circulation to that nerve. And there's the other nerve is kind of complex too. I'm not going to bore everybody with it, but the third occipital nerve actually comes out at C2, goes down to C6, back up and wraps around another muscle and goes around. So you have all these different wrapping and turning that just allows your nerves to not tear as they move through your body. And there's a lot of places where, you need inches of glide. And those nerves that cause headaches, there's two of the three really needs inches of gliding. And the reason that we have that C1 plexus here is because that's the least amount of motion that's going to happen as we move our head. As anywhere other than right in front of C1, we have to have these loops where nerves can move and accommodate for that motion, that stretching of our muscles.
Interesting. And then I guess like if somebody's dealing with a migraine headache right now, or they're incredibly stressed, that they might be Googling stellate ganglion nerve block, name of their city or whatever. But I guess I'm really seeing the elephant in the room here. These are, you know, sharp objects going into one's neck near extremely vulnerable arteries. How does somebody know if they're going to somebody who's actually well-versed in these protocols and knows what they're doing?
Well, I mean, the most predictable thing is, you know, if you, it's what their experience is to an extent. There is an RMSK certification that people that are experts at ultrasound tend to have. So you can look for somebody that has a RMSK certification, or you can just, you know, look at somebody's experience, you know, talk to them, look at their background. And I've been teaching these procedures for 13 years. So I do know a lot of the people in areas all over the world. You know, I've taught, you know, teaching from, you know, China, New Zealand, Australia to, you know, Canada, in South America and all those areas. So I kind of know who's going to have it. And then I think if you know somebody who's an expert in it, you can call them and say, hey, you know, I'm in Phoenix, you know, who's the closest person that you trust? And we can kind of guide you to the best of our ability. So it is kind of tough. I think that there is probably less than 50 people in the United States. I would say possibly less than 20 that are going to be really skilled at those procedures. And the numbers may be more. I personally know of 20.
Yeah. Okay.
There may be. Hopefully, there's a lot more. Right. Basically, they're looking at less than 1% of the providers out there.
I've used it for years. It's one of my go-to nootropic blends because it's like brain food. It's vegan. It's non-GMO. Supports focus and memory and mental energy. 28 research-backed nootropics packed into one teeny tiny bottle. If you've appreciated my work for the last 7 years now, you can attribute a great deal of that to this nootropic. It's called Qualia Mind. Qualia Mind. It's fueled my brain for years now. And you feel it within days. I would say within hours after taking it. You can also try it with a 100% money-back guarantee and 15% off. Here's how. Go to neurohacker.com/BGF. And use code BGF at checkout. It's already up to 50% off. You get an extra 15% off the already discounted price and get to try it for 100 days with no financial risk, money-back guarantee, neurohacker.com, neurohacker.com/BGF to try Qualia Mind and get an extra 15% off. How do you like that? Hey, you want to spice things up in the bedroom and boost your sexual performance and do it naturally without nasty prescription drugs? Yeah, check out this stuff, Joy Mode. It's a powder. You can put it in water, or if you're like me and you're a savage, you can dry powder into your mouth. Contains clinically supported doses of L-citrulline, arginine, yohimbine, and vitamin C. So after taking this stuff called their Sexual Performance Booster, again, by Joy Mode, your blood levels of arginine and yohimbine increase, and that directly promotes nitric oxide production, penile tissue relaxation, and increased drive. Well, the antioxidant action of vitamin C protects the nitric oxide from oxidative degradation, which then enhances the blood flow promoting activity of the nitric oxide. They thought of everything. They're super smart over at Joy Mode, and collectively these effects enhance sex drive and blood flow naturally to the penis or to the clitoris. My wife takes it too. It's amazing. You get better orgasms, better blood flow. You can kiss nasty prescription medications goodbye and have natural guilt-free energy for boosting your sexual performance. You can get 20% off your first order from Joy Mode. How? Go to usejoymode.com/greenfield. That's usejoymode.com/greenfield. J-O-Y. Usejoymode.com/greenfield. That'll give you 20% off your first order.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to put the name of your website and everything in the show notes so people could at least start there as far as some digging goes. I'm sure Avi knows some good folks for this as well. So if you're listening in right now, both Dr. Tierney's and Dr. Avi's clinics are going to be in the show notes at bengreenfieldlife.com/Onatara if you're interested in getting a procedure like this done, because I think it's absolutely one of the most profound things I've seen for nervous system management. So I'm super appreciative for you filling us in, Shane.
Yeah, I mean, there's a tendency to have people go one direction or another direction. I, you know, for me, C1, that plexus, it just, I feel really, really good. And some people that are tend to run really high, they feel better after getting a stellate block. But yeah, you have that almost a personality that's going to do better with one versus the other. The other thing that I wanted to bring up about that C1 is because it's altering your blood supply to your brain, and we can modulate your immune response to a certain extent through your autonomic system. It when people have cold and flu and allergy symptoms, we do a lot of times see those dissipate, and you know, just with that 100-day section, an instantaneous relief of that congestion, of that runny nose, of that cough, of that altered temperature.
Wow, that's crazy. So it's almost like it can be an instant fix for just like an acute sickness.
That's correct.
That's crazy.
It is really, and then it's like even in looking at people that are okay, that like we talked about heart issues, blood pressure issues, we can kind of turn somebody on a dime and make a real impactful change, you know.
I'm really glad folks are finding out about
it. Last time Sean was here, last week at the office here in Annetara, we had a woman with a malignant form of hypertension and tachycardia. And after the procedure, her blood pressure was 113 over 67 and her heart rate was 72.
Wow.
So it can have an immediate effect. The question is whether it'll last. And of course, the way we performed it on this particular woman, it should last. But let's just see how it goes. But you can have an immediate impact. The thing about the immune system connected to the nervous system is sort of a really cool pearl that you can take out of this, because it's not to be expected, but of course they're connected.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, wow. Of course they're connected to the brain. Of course they're connected to the autonomic nervous system.
Yeah.
But to have that type of instantaneous turn off is pretty remarkable.
Wow. Amazing.
I have four patients that every so often will have visual deficits so far as their ability to focus. And we've kind of concluded over the years that, hey, this is what they need. So they'll literally come in. I won't see them for a year. They'll come out like, yeah, my vision is starting to get a little blurry again. Let me get another C1 plexus. And then that's, you know, and within 5 minutes, they're like, okay, I'm back and I'll see you when we see you. And then sometimes it's a year or two and we'll come back in and say, hey, you know, it does make sense, because really your pupillary the size of your pupil is controlled by your autonomic system. And if that system is out of balance, you may lose that ability to focus. And the latest medication for actually focusing for like somebody like me who needs reading glasses, a little drops that just make your pupil smaller. And then you, all of a sudden, you know, you can read the small print again without glasses. So there's a lot of science and technology and physiology behind that being effective.
Wow.
And the other thing that I would see I see those repeat people coming in as people get tinnitus or tinnitus, where they have ringing in their ears and or some loss of hearing, and that those people kind of come back and, oh, that's, I need another C1. I know, you know, maybe it's been a year, maybe it's been a couple of years, but it started to come back. So let's just get it taken care of. And that's going to be a devastating condition to have.
Yeah. Well, this is fascinating.
Thank you, John.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right, man. Good. Bye-bye. Good to see you on the internet.
Yeah. 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 All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. See you later.
We'll see you.
Well, one thing we haven't talked about yet that is obviously a hot topic in the whole anti-aging longevity medicine sector is stem cells. I've talked about stem cells a lot in the podcast before, but I'm curious in your office, if there's a specific flavor or approach that you use to stem cell management, because you obviously talk to a lot of people about this and you're kind of forward thinking on the whole topic. So I'm curious how you do things as far as stem cells are concerned.
Surely. I'd be happy to discuss it. We've taught stem cell therapies under the umbrella of ACAM for about 6 years. But we started using our own adipose-derived stem cells here around 9 years ago. And they were quite effective in a very wide range of population.
And when you say adipose-derived, do you mean taken from the patient?
Taken from the patient, okay. Yeah. And actually, the mom of the oldest employee that we have, who was at that time, she was 96 years old. She was the second patient that I did it on.
Wow.
And I got an amazing number of stem cells out of her fat. And she
You took the stem cells out of the 96-year-old.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Or the fat out of the 96-year-old.
Yeah. Usually in the flank.
Yeah.
And you know, with obviously
flank,
with
a, make her sound like a cow. Jeez. Yeah,
well, yeah. Well, from coming from Brooklyn, I don't know about cows. So,
yeah.
So, but we were able to get a sufficient amount and it doesn't hurt. You know, it's done under under local anesthesia. It doesn't hurt. But we've had, let's say, 5 years of experience with that, completely safe. And the more cells you were able to derive, and you could predict who would have low yields. The lowest yields were the people with diabetes. Really low.
People with diabetes had the lowest yields.
Had the lowest yields because they have, I mean, however, whether it's type 1 or type 2, they had the lowest yields, and that was just the learning from it. And then the higher yields got better, longer effects. And then the FDA came in and said that the material we were using to digest the connective tissue off of the fat and then get the fat to release the stem cells was an intervention of some kind that went against their rules. So they put a hold on it, and then ultimately 6 years later, they lost that case.
From what I understand, the problem was they essentially were treating it, reviewing it as the creation of a pharmaceutical product.
Right.
Yeah.
And of course, it has no standardization. There's no way to standardize my fat cells with stem cells and yours. There's no way to standardize it. So they didn't like the whole concept of it. And so we then had to move on to other stem cell products. So we went through the whole gamut. And if you look at my formulary in the front of the office, you'll see that we test a lot of different formulas. And so we went through them and came up with a few of the better ones, both on the whole cell side, the whole mesenchymal stem cell side. This is umbilical cord cells, fresh taken out of C-section umbilical cords, and then set up and frozen, you know, cultured and frozen. No, I mean, not cultured, but frozen. And then tested and so on. So, and then the problem, that was the first group that came up. And we tested and we found one or two of them beat the others. And so we focused only on those two. And at that point, the exosomes came up. Exosomes are simply the small particles from which the whole stem cells communicate with their neighbors. So once they're infused into the body, one controversy is still out there that people think that stem cells given to you, either your own or someone else's, replicate in your body. And there's very little data that suggests that happens.
The stem cells do not replicate in your body.
Not that I'm aware of.
Why is that important?
Well, because it's not the way they operate.
Okay.
They don't operate that way. They operate locally when they're homed into an area. That's a molecular signaling that the body produces. We don't produce it. And we can mimic it by saying, if I want to give, let's say, a cardiac patient stem cells intravenously, I'll put the laser pads on his chest.
Laser pads?
In this case, the same device that you had attached to yourself with the intravenous lasers also has a way to put them locally.
Oh.
And one of the ways that you can put them locally is with a pad.
So it's like a transdermal absorption of the wavelengths instead of
you
going
can,
into
yeah,
the,
because
into the
infrared,
blood.
Infrared will penetrate 10 centimeters.
Yeah.
So it will. So we've known that from the very beginning that in my laboratory at Johns Hopkins many years ago, we were leading on the immunology side, and we were leading on the transplant side. We started experimenting with how to get stem cells into the heart, and we realized that you didn't need to go an arterial route. You can go a venous route. You can get them there that way. So we knew that was still a good mechanism, and you can get them to stick there for 30 minutes. They'll probably preferentially stay there. The fact is, once you infuse stem cells into your body, they typically migrate to the lung lymphatics and to the spleen until they're called on for a specific task. And when exosomes came forward, then we had a much easier approach to get the signaling molecules that they're using with the appropriate RNA signals into tissues that normally the larger stem cells would not be able to reach. And the most important of which is the blood-brain barrier.
And so that's where you combine it with exosomes to get the stem cells to go to places they normally wouldn't otherwise go.
Yeah, well, you don't need the stem cells anymore because these are products from the stem cells. So the exosomes come from activating your stem cells in vitro and then collecting them and counting them and proving that they're sterile and so on, and then giving it to the patients. Now, there's controversies in terms of how many of these stem cells do I have? How many of these exosomes do I have? The number doesn't count. You can be off by a factor of 1,000 and say, my exosomes have 15 billion and yours have 15 trillion and the 15 billion work better. It's not the number because you can adapt the counting device to any range of size you wish.
Okay.
And come up with a bigger number. So at the same time, there's a counting war going on, but the exosomes can traverse very tiny spaces, and they can easily traverse the blood-brain barrier, probably easier to traverse bone in terms of difficult areas to get into. So we now use both umbilical cord cells as well as exosomes. The science and the technology and on the stem cell side, there's no clear arguments that the stem cell technology is better abroad than it is here.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not I like to use them with the lasers, but that's not a technology per se. We're not culturing them. We're not expanding them here in the United States. You can get that elsewhere. But when we had experience with culturing and expanding stem cells early on for the first several years and then giving them back to patients, we noticed that there was a differential between the activity level of the stem cells given fresh versus the activity level cultured. So yeah. If you get five times more cells in the culture, it doesn't mean that it's five times more potent.
Right.
It may be better, but it may not. So it's not crystal clear to me that the number is important. It's the viability and the potency of the stem cells.
And if you had to choose, do you care if you're using an umbilical source versus the patient's own stem cells?
I would. Again, the older you are, the better it is to use the umbilical. We just have that experience that we could derive the effect that everyone was looking for with our own cells, typically, except when we got too low a number. And the value of that systemically it was strong enough to be equivalent or as good, certainly as good as the umbilical cord cells or the exosomes that are derived from the umbilical cord cells.
Okay.
The trouble with it is, and this they have to be clear about, is stem cells are not a panacea. They're not the holy grail at this point in time. They're mature enough, they're primitive, but they're mature enough that they can't become an organ system and they're not primitive enough
right.
for that. And so they're not going to take you from kidney failure to normal kidneys in one
right.
in one
or a second heart.
It's not going to do that. At the same time, they're the strongest type of treatment of its kind. So they're the strongest global reparative, global antioxidant, anti-inflammatory therapy that we have. I won't waste it by coming to, you can't come to see us and just come in and get stem cells and leave.
Right.
I won't do it. You have to first give someone a month of gut repair, a month of hormone replacement, a month to get the signaling correct.
Right.
And
you
then,
don't want to basically put stem cells into an inflammatory, messed up body, or it's almost
like
a waste.
They still work, interestingly enough, because we had a lot of clients that used to come from China before the pandemic, and they were not interested in any anti-aging strategies. They just wanted stem cells, and they wanted stem cells they could trust.
Yeah.
So they would get that. And they warned us clearly that they're not going to listen to anything else we're going to say. And then they'd complain about 4 months later, say, the effects are gone. Maybe you sold us. Maybe we didn't get the right thing. I said, well, we told you exactly that that's what happened, because you can't go back and smoke and drink every night.
It'd be like the ganglion nerve block that we talked about, and somebody with a hyper-stressful lifestyle and using that as a Band-Aid.
Right. So that, but that's, in fact, a reasonable way to go. It's not going to get you to live longer. But if you wanted to maintain that life, that ridiculous
damage control, so to speak.
Damage control lifestyle, then you need to do it 3-4 times a year, period.
Yeah.
So then the question is, who do we treat? So again, the diagnosis is anti-aging, which is people who have difficulty reaching their performance goals. Locally, the majority of folks that are above 60 don't reach their performance goals because they have a local issue that has to be taken care of. And again, it's either going to be taken care of now. And that's the reason I brought hydrodissection to Donatara, because it's so profoundly, you know, not used.
Yeah.
And it's so potent. So, for example, with hydrodissection, there's nothing as good as that for low back pain and upper neck pain. Fingers and joints and smaller joints and so on, just to be very, very, very precise. The other way we sometimes need to use them for a large joint is to be able to place one of the Weber laser needles into the joint when we give the stem cells.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so that's using both the lasers and the stem cells together at the same exact time. You have to use a larger needle. You have to know where you are. So it's better to do that under ultrasound guidance. Otherwise, a knee injection like we did 4 or 5 years ago, we did it just with anatomical markers. We didn't need to go with that.
So basically, if somebody wanted to feel really good, they were going to come in here. They do something like, in addition to getting a diagnostic from you as far as bloods, you know, mold screening, the urine test, et cetera, and the blood cell analysis, they do something very similar to the protocol that I'm on the tail end of today. It looks like that NAD is still dripping in as we talk. Something like ozone, vitamin C, B complex cocktails, phosphatidylcholine, antioxidants, and that would be like a protocol for somebody for like a gold standard full body health type of workout.
And understanding that someone at your age, if you wanted to do it more, you can, but you probably don't need to do the stem cell component more than once a year. It depends on how competitive an athlete you are today versus the way you used to be
3-4 years ago.
But when you reach 60, 70, even 80, and you want to make, there's so much to pay back that the only folks that use the stem cells correctly are the ones that make a long-term investment and say, I need to do this every 2 months for the next 18 months to pay it back. And then I can come in twice a year.
Yeah.
But without that, it just now, at the same time, doing a lot of other things, making sure their hemoglobin A1C drops to 5.1, 5.2, and their C-reactive protein goes down, and they're repairing properly, their methylation is proper, their true age from the methylation test goes down.
Right.
But otherwise, it's just a shot in the dark, and it makes people feel good, but it's not accomplishing what they hope.
Right.
It just doesn't.
That makes sense.
Now you can take someone with moderately severe hip arthritis or knee arthritis and delay surgery with a single injection. if you want to avoid surgery, it's going to be a series of injections over 18 months. Once they get this to bone on bone, it's simply just delaying surgery.
Yeah.
You know, because you have to have, you have to buff them up for other reasons.
Yeah.
But that's the way it's poorly utilized. It's something everyone wants to do.
Yeah. Yeah. From a business standpoint, have you like branded the type of thing I'm doing today? Where let's say somebody listens to this podcast, where they live in the Bay Area, where you're at, or friggin' you're flying over from China or right. whatever. Like if they call the office and they ask to come in and just do like a full body, like feel good and also eradicate some, you know, viruses, mold, et cetera. Is there a name for the type of package that I was just doing today?
Well, I guess the name.
The Avi Super Special.
Yeah. The name has been used by others, but it's like the whole. When someone like that wants to come in, I'll do that whole day or 2 days, one afternoon and one morning, the next day with Dr. Tierney here.
Okay.
And because we have to reorganize your reset your autonomic nervous system also to make sure that a single treatment will stick, and you can go back home and don't have to worry about it for 6 months.
Yeah.
Or a year for that matter. But okay. Otherwise, we can mimic the total body approach that's being done elsewhere in the country. But we won't likely do it in one day because I'm a hormesis type of a guy, and I just think it's too much.
It's a lot to do in a couple of days.
It's a lot to do.
Yeah.
But unless you're super healthy, you'll get away with it. If you're not, you'll get sicker before you ever get better.
Yeah. Yeah. And then afterwards, do people feel kind of run down from all the procedures? I mean, like now, I feel like my energy levels have gone up throughout the day, but I would imagine I'll probably sleep pretty well tonight.
After yes, you will sleep
yeah.
well tonight.
Yes. Yeah. That's now, the URL is anataramedicine.com.
Anatara, Anatara. It's a Sanskrit word that means core. But typically when people misspell it, they'll get Antara, which is a hotel group in Asia.
Okay.
Actually, no, a luxury yeah. group.
Okay, well, good. That's at least good that it's yeah. not some fringe bed yeah. bugs and right. Herpes in your bed sheets hotel. The thing is also, you and I had another podcast I've alluded to a couple yes. of times 4 years ago where we talked about food, constitutional assessments, and some of these other things that you do. If you're listening in right now, I recommend you go listen to that one too, because it would pair pretty well with this one as far as wrapping your head around some of the nutritional components and body typing components and the Chinese medical approach that Avi alluded to a while ago in this podcast. But what I'll do for everybody listening in is there's going to be a bunch of videos, photos, really cool visuals that you guys can follow if you go to bengreenfieldlife.com/Anatara, Anatara. And in those show notes, I'll link to the previous podcast that Avi and I did as well, if you guys want to listen to that. And man, it's pretty cool what you're doing. I'm just super grateful to be able to cover it and open people up to these kind of procedures that can change their lives and make them feel a heck of a lot better.
The whole purpose of Anatara when I first started it was to figure out how to treat people who are overdone. I've been overdoing it for mm-hmm. years. So for my group of people, it was social entrepreneurs that dealt with global health and had entities in Europe and in Asia, and we're up 24/7. So the concept of having social entrepreneurs like yourself doing good things is the whole point of this, to optimize and do it in our way that's more international.
Yeah.
And more open to older stuff and not stuck with only what's going on now.
Yeah. And I've learned a new name for myself too today, social entrepreneur.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, you're for profit, but you're not motivated, but you're motivated by doing social good.
Information.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. I consider myself to be a teacher and a storyteller.
That's right. So when I consider myself a doctor and a philosopher. Yeah. So that's the way it used to be.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Well, Avi, you're a good man. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks.
I appreciate it. More than ever these days, people like you and me need a fresh, entertaining, well-informed, and often outside the box approach to discovering the health and happiness and hope that we all crave. So I hope I've been able to do that for you on this episode today. And if you liked it, or if you love what I'm up to, then please leave me a review on your preferred podcast listening channel, wherever that might be. And just find the Ben Greenfield Life episode. Say something nice. Thanks so much. It means a lot.
In compliance with the FTC guidelines, please assume the following about links and posts on this site. Most of the links going to products are often affiliate links, of which I receive a small commission from sales of certain items, but the price is the same for you, and sometimes I even get to share a unique and somewhat significant discount with you. In some cases, I might also be an investor in a company I mention. I'm the founder, for example, of Keon LLC, the makers of Keon-branded supplements and products, which I talk about quite a bit. Regardless of the relationship, if I post or talk about an affiliate link to a product, it is indeed something I personally use, support, and with full authenticity and transparency, recommend in good conscience. I personally vet each and every product that I talk about. My first priority is providing valuable information and resources to you that help you positively optimize your mind, body, and spirit. And I'll only ever link to products or resources, affiliate or otherwise, that fit within this purpose. So there's your fancy legal disclaimer.